Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8 o'clock. Look at that. Look at that, AJ. 8 o'clock on the dot. You guys never hit the top of the hour. We do. Eat that, AJ. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, you know what? I was thinking this too, and I didn't want to say it, but Angel Hernandez, worst at his job. Bill O'Brien is right there with him. And you know what? Cal.
That's a job.
We get
is two, that a job? You don't get hired though. That's something you have.
Well, but he's still the worst owner in sports.
Yeah.
In professional sports. He's the worst. He's the worst owner.
That's accurate.
Yeah. I mean, New York. What the hell's his name?
Dolan.
But James least, Dolan is least, right there with him.
At least he hired Tom Thibodeau.
They're making a nice little run this year.
The Knicks are somewhat decent this year.
Yeah, I don't. How can we have two of the three worst in sports?
Well, because the worst empowered the sec. The sec is he is Kyle worse than Bill or? Second worst.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, he's ultimately responsible for all of this.
Yeah, so he empowered the worst. Yeah. So of course that's how you get both.
Yeah, empowered I'm hoping he made worst. It. I'm hoping he made it better. But with Caserio, I mean, there's nothing we can do. He's under a stranglehold, some kind of magic spell by Easterby. So there's nothing we can do about that. But maybe Caserio is going to be the right choice. Maybe he's going to make good moves. So far, he's made. You know, very pedestrian. They've marginally bettered the roster. That's nice.
You have a professional who knows what he's at least doing right now. Whether those work out, that's one thing. But you don't have someone who's completely incompetent doing it. Like, these are things you can justify. What Bill O'Brien did, you could not justify.
Yeah.
You don't. There wasn't a.
Nothing.
You can't see a plan other than we're going all in. With David Johnson and Brandon Cooks are going all in.
All these Mensas on Twitter who bought in. At least they're going all in. Like all in, they've got the worst set of cards. They've got the worst hold cards I've ever seen
ever
for all in. And I'm talking about 2 years ago. That wasn't an all in team. Yeah, they got to the playoffs and all that stuff. This still wasn't an all in team. That's not, you don't go all in on a left
with David
tackle.
Johnson. We're going all in.
I get that you needed a left.
We're getting
tackle.
Rid of a.
Well, it started with
D Hop and getting David Johnson all in.
Well, what? No, the first time I heard all in was the Laremy Tunsil move. I'm like, you don't go all in with a left tackle.
Wait a minute. All in is one thing. Doing what, getting that left tackle that you had to have to protect Deshaun.
That's fine.
That's
fine. But you don't do it by any means.
It's not all in. That's not all in.
You don't go any means necessary. Oh, no. That day, they moved. They got rid of. Remember, the same day they got rid of. That was the same day. The same day they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney for a third and paid his salary, and Jacob Martin and Barkevious Mingle. And they gave up two firsts and a second for a left tackle without a new contract and Kenny Stills, who they released in the middle of the year last year, late middle of the year. It's just like, it's not by any means. Look, you can say you needed a left tackle. That was accurate. But you don't do it by any means necessary. If you're a general manager and you're going by any means necessary, then you're terrible at your job. You're awful. You should never do anything. It's just like the Astros. They'll never do anything by any means necessary for Carlos Correa. We don't even think like that. Like, Daryl did that for the first time with Chris Paul with that $40 million. Like, what the hell? And then we started hearing there was already an agreement made. The Rockets didn't want to go back on their agreement before there was even a trade for Chris Paul. they had agreed, look, if you come over here, we will, if you don't shut this down, we will give you your extension for that much. Because I was thinking, this is terrible. This isn't any means necessary. This isn't how Darryl operates. And the Astros never operate by any means necessary.
I thought the closest the Astros got was the Greinke deal. Boy, they gave up a ton.
They did.
They gave up a lot more than I thought they were.
That was a focus on a championship, but he also wasn't a one-year guy. This is now third year.
Yeah, right.
Well, two and a half.
Right. And, you know, but he's certainly well at the back end and way overpaid. But that was a go-for-it deal as opposed to all-in deal. They did give up. Now, we'll see if any of those guys turn out to be players.
And
we'll
funny, it would have worked out if, you know, the manager didn't get in the way.
He's going to come here. I hope.
Are you going to boo him?
No, I'm not going to boo him. I don't boo.
I was just checking to see if you're going to go and boo him.
I'm not going to boo him. No, I don't boo. I'm gonna ask him, hey, what about 8 outs to go? How do you feel about that? How's that working out? Actually, he plays a lot at the club I go to. So, I mean, I guess I could have asked him, but I never went up to him and talked to him. I saw Gar out there the other day. He's doing well. His son is playing well. Yeah, great guy. 713-780-3776 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, if you want to get in here, you're more than
welcome. When are we having John Avello on to talk about?
Johnny Avello is going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow at 8:15. So today is Richard Justice at 8:30.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Richie about it.
John Avello is the sports book
manager. He's Johnny Avello.
Yeah, he actually is, yeah. Johnny Avello is talking about the Final Four, and I've noticed the number creeping up a little bit as I check in with this site to take a look for the Baylor-Cougar game right now. That March Madness, where are we at here? That March Madness number, it started off 4.5, and then it went to, it's currently 5.
Yeah.
It's currently 5.
I'm surprised it's not higher now.
The over-under is 134.
What is it? Is there?
Gonzaga's gone up. They're 14.
14 now. That's the biggest spread in Final Four history, and deservedly so. So how many times, they've played 30 games this year. How many times have they won by double digits?
They played 30 times. How many times have they won by double digits? It's 29.
29.
The only time they didn't was West Virginia.
West Virginia. Mm-hmm. West Virginia is the second.
Jalen Suggs got hurt early in that game.
West Virginia is the greatest team. It's second. They should finish second this year. If you lost to Gonzaga by 5, you are the second best team in the country.
That's a miracle. How BYU got to a halftime with a lead on Gonzaga
and
a miracle.
And then still lost by double digits.
Yeah, I know.
Lost by 10
still
in that
lost
game.
Lost by double digits.
Lost by 10 that game. And lost by 11. BYU is a good basketball team. How they lost to UCLA. I mean, okay, so wait a minute. BYU played Gonzaga second toughest, lost by 10 and 11 this year. And UCLA beat BYU. Guess what? UCLA wins this game.
That's the transitive property you're using?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. See if it works out for you.
Did I say that publicly? Did I say well, no one could hear that, right?
Well, you spoke into a microphone.
No one could hear me, right?
Well, actually, today, people can hear us. So,
why? Wow, is it cloudy out?
Yes, actually.
Is it?
Yes.
Good.
Cloudy out.
Good. Because apparently when it's sunny... So one team all year has played them within 10 points. That's how unbelievably good. That's okay. 14 point spread. Which way are you going?
I'm going with, you mean for UCLA?
Yeah.
Just this game?
This game.
I'm going to go UCLA.
Are you?
UCLA
that
has
seems
been,
like the, that's, AJ that seems believes, like a good move.
AJ,
you know, with the way Gonzaga's playing.
AJ believes they are the luckiest team of all time. Now, AJ had the others. He had Michigan. So I've been on that. He made some valid points yesterday. We were talking about it.
Well, if they're the luckiest team ever, that point,
why would
some
it
point,
stop?
That stops.
Would it? Or if they're the luckiest team ever, it doesn't stop.
Well, his point
or
was.
You know what? They just got lucky to be teams, here.
Well, they've had multiple. outside of the Michigan game, which they have three double-digit wins themselves in this tournament.
Yeah.
So some of these games, they were clearly the better.
No, I'm not saying that's going to happen. Win against Alabama.
They beat them by 10.
It ended up being 10?
BYU by 11. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was, when it was 7, I turned it off because I thought, okay, I'm good.
So, yeah, and they fought back from a late last second three. Think that would crush them. Nope. They went on to blow out Alabama in that overtime.
They've been shot makers. Like, they've done a really good job of making shots. But what AJ pointed out was the free throw percentages for the opposition has been unbelievably bad.
So their free throw defense has been tremendous.
That's awesome. What he said. There's no such thing as free throw defense. That's luck. And other teams are missing threes.
But are those teams good
free throw shooting teams? Not going to happen Saturday. That.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think Gonzaga is going to put up the same numbers. But if Alabama, BYU, and Abilene Christian aren't good free throw shooting teams, then putting one on the line is not a bad idea, I guess. I don't know their percentages, so I can't speak to that. UCLA played Michigan tough defensively. I don't think that was luck. They were hard nosed and made big shots when it mattered.
To say that they were lucky, I mean they played really good basketball. Yeah. They played really well, beating Alabama and beating Michigan that.
And they played different types of games. It was a more traditional game against Bama, and then it was a low scoring battle against Michigan.
That makes the point for Gonzaga even more. If you're saying that they were lucky to get here. That runs out. That runs out in a hurry.
But I don't. Well, if you believe they're lucky, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they played the play-in game. They were lucky not to face Texas and face Abilene Christian. They were lucky that they won by double digits against Alabama in an overtime game, and then they beat Michigan. I mean, and it was luck that they won that game. But if to me a lucky team. That's not a team that I feel real confident in.
The only thing I will disagree with, I think beating Bama and Michigan Valley is that they probably would have smacked Texas around too. Now, I don't know. Matches might have determined things, but they went on to beat a 2-1. So
I don't know. That's about matchups.
The lucky thing with you don't get to a Final Four in all luck. I mean, they've made shots. UCLA has been shot makers. When Alabama fought back against them, they were matching them shot for shot for shot at the end of that game. They made plays. I just think that when you get to the Final Four, look, Gonzaga's great, but winning by 14 is a lot. Winning by 12 is a really good win on a Final Four. That's not a
cup. Here's the thing about that, though. Every team Gonzaga has played was playing well going into that game. Either they won their tournament or their conference, or they won in the tournament going up to that Gonzaga game, and then Gonzaga kicked their ass. So every single team that they've played so far, I mean, USC looked great. Going into that game, I thought, wow, a double-digit USC's going to play. No, that's not happening. And so Gonzaga is a different world, bro.
That's why they're the highest. This is the highest point spread in the history of the Final Four. It's not like you're getting a freebie on this.
No, I know. But I've learned my lesson with USC. I'm taking Gonzaga, and I'm give the 14. You know what? This is going to be a 20-point win.
This number should be 12. According to the numbers, this should be a 12-point.
Well, then that's one more shot that they have to make.
Right, Gonzaga has I'm to just make. Telling you what the numbers should be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go
against the spread. What do you think Gonzaga is against the spread this year? With all those double-digit wins,
they're probably
it's 30 games.
30 games. They're probably 24-6?
16-12-2.
Well, they're such big favorites.
Yeah. UCLA's been 17-14. Straight up, obviously 30-0. 14 overs, 15 unders for Gonzaga. Interesting.
Yeah.
Field goal percentage. The three-point percentage, Gonzaga shoots 37%. Defensively, UCLA allows 33%, but here's the kicker. Gonzaga allows 31% three-point percentage, and UCLA shoots 37%, 36.9. It's basically the same. Free throw percentage, slight advantage to Gonzaga. You know, the one thing I've noticed is the free throw shooting is so much better now across the board for college basketball teams than what I usually see. Like, big men actually make free throws in college.
Yeah,
in college basketball.
Yeah.
It used to be that's why University of Houston never won a national championship. They were terrible from the free throw.
Yeah.
Awful.
All right. 713-780-3776. 3776. Richie is going to join us at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 97.5. You don't want to go anywhere. This is a quick one. We still got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about J.J. Redick on the other side and what he did, and we'll find out and delve into that a little bit. But right now, I want to talk about my hair. And if you're on Twitch right now, you can see it. It's unbelievable. Got a little ducktail thing going, but Doc Linville does not advocate, Fred's mullet or my ducktail. I mean, that's not part of the deal. It's not automatic that you get a ducktail. I'm lucky to have one. Fred's lucky to have the mullet thing he's got going on. But here's the deal: is we have hair. We have hair because of Doc Linville. We have hair because Doc Linville is awesome at his job. Doc Linville will give you hair as well in a process that you are going to love. Neo-grafting is second to none. The other process with the cutting and the pasting on your, it's hard and it hurts and it's, wow, this sucks. Not this one. This one was easy. Fred worked the same day. I did mine Friday, working on Monday. No problems. You will love the process. You'll love Doc Linville. You'll love the service. You'll love everything about it. If you're thinking about, you got a bald spot or you're bald, you want to get hair, you can't stand being bald anymore, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:17 here on the show. Richard Jess is going to be joining us a little bit later. If you guys want to jump in, Carlos Correa, we're expecting a deal to potentially get done today. Maybe trickier because Francisco Lindor signed a deal for 10 years at $341 million? $340 million. You're basically talking $34 million a year over 10 years. Remember, baseball contracts are all guaranteed. That's in the same neighborhood as what Tatis made, only Tatis is stretched out on over 14 years. You know, our thought was Carlos might be 6 or 7 year deal. That's maybe a little trickier now, unless they are in an agreement. I don't know if a new deal for Lindor would have Carlos's guys backing away, because what could make it a little funky is if the agency says we're not taking a deal where the guaranteed money is literally half of what Lindor is going to make. They would think it makes them look bad. But if Carlos Correa wants to be a Houston Astro, he can override anything that his agency may say, and he may say, let's get it done. I want this done before the season starts. And I'll tell you what, it will be a happy city if Carlos Correa agrees to a contract before tonight's game. The Astros start off tonight. It's opening day for the Astros, 9 p.m. They take on the Oakland A's, so it's a 9 p.m. start time, and we get to see this year's version of your Houston Astros. I think certainly the fans will be booing the Astros. You have to get used to that again. They didn't get their licks in last year, so they're going to get their licks in this year. We'll see how that ends up working out, but I don't know. I feel kind of good about the season this year. Last year, as soon as you had Justin Verlander hurt, it was like, wow, no Verlander. You had no Verlander. You had no Gerrit Cole. It felt, and then shortly thereafter, you lost Yordan. It felt like a disaster, and the regular season was a disaster. Yeah. And then because of the setup, where every first and second place team made it, the Astros got in. They really should have. They had no business being in the playoffs. Any other time, they would not have been in the playoffs. Instead, they got in and put together a good postseason. We had a lot of good memories at the end. And this year, we'll see if they can build on that. I am the thing. What are you most excited? The thing I'm most excited is watching Yordan again. That's the thing I'm most excited about. He hit it 470, 480.
I want to see Jose Altuve get back to Jose Altuve to Hall of Fame status. That's what I'm excited about, that he is going to have the weight of the world off his shoulders. He's going to hear it from the opposing fans, but if he can't handle that, then he's going to then you know what? Then he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
He needs to put together some big seasons again so that he that everybody knows that he is that great, great player that we knew, probably the greatest player in Astros history. And he needs to get back to that as opposed to what happened last year. It was in his head. And that's what I'm excited to see him and be happy, have fun. I want to see Bregman having fun. I want to see Carlos having fun. You know, this team, we love this team because of the camaraderie, because how much they loved each other, how much they enjoyed playing
Absolutely.
The game. All of that stuff. How tight they were, everything. That was the most fun team to watch, and boy, I just hope they can get back to that in some way, shape, or form. Now, without Springer, it's going to be tougher because George was the glue. He really was. So, but you know what? They still got a really, really good team, really good up and down lineup, and the rotation is good too. So we'll see. I don't know that they've got the SI has the Angels winning with 90 wins, the Astros with 88 wins. The Angels are going to be tough. Joe Maddon makes a difference.
No, Angels.
Joe Maddon makes a difference.
Angels, to me, are the prop bet. If you want to make a prop bet in the division, you bet the Angels.
Yeah.
Because they're like plus 350.
Yeah. That's
the prop bet.
Yeah.
The Astros.
You got to fade the Astros and the Angels and the A's, though.
No, but, no, yeah. No question. It's not free, but you get 3.5 times your money.
Mm-hmm.
And the Astros over under was, what did I say, 87.5?
And they got 88 wins.
Yeah, 87.5, and then you've got 82.5 for the Angels, and then I think you've got 86.5, 85.5 for the A's. Yeah. It's going to be a competitive division. I don't think Seattle's necessarily a layup. A lot of young players last year that were kind of scrappy. So,
oh, no, they give the Astros fits.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Seattle, but we'll see how it goes. Okay. It starts tonight, and it'll be nice to have some hopefully positive sports talk in Houston.
Yep.
The Deshaun thing is really starting to wear me out. I mean, Easterby wore me out. Bill O'Brien wore me out. This has been 2 years of just feeling worn out. Even when they were winning.
The scandal wore us out.
This and James and the Rockets.
James wore you out.
It's just so much, man. It's just so much. And then on top of it all, it happened in the middle of the worst. What's going to go down in history is one of the worst historical times, you know, that we've ever been through. I mean, it wasn't Great Depression, but it was a pandemic that shut the whole world down.
Yeah. Yep.
And on top, we're in the middle of that dealing with all the sports crap that it started back up. Sports started back up, and then it just went all to hell, at least in Houston.
Right. I mentioned before the break, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick is now with the Mavericks. He was traded to the Mavericks, and he is none too pleased with the Pelicans. And it's interesting because J.J. Redick, a Duke guy. Trajan Langdon, the general manager, a Duke guy.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson, a Duke guy.
I thought this is all good. I thought that's a good thing.
Well, it is a good thing.
If you're a Duke guy.
Yeah. You know, no.
Right?
They're honest and J.J.'s pissed because he asked them, and apparently they told him, David Griffin and Trajan Langdon, I guess it was more David Griffin, told him that they would trade him. He wants to, his kids are in Brooklyn. If he comes to see them in New Orleans, apparently they had to quarantine for a week when they got back to Brooklyn.
Why would your kids live in Brooklyn?
I don't know. I don't know what is his marriage.
That's an expensive ass marriage.
Well, I mean,
is he married or is he divorced?
Money? I don't know. I don't know that. That's the problem. She might live in Brooklyn. No. Yeah. And so,
you know what?
That's his
Asheville,
situation.
North Carolina, make it easier for everybody.
Well, she ain't making it easy for him. She's a divorced wife. Guess what?
In New York, she could get randomly
divorced. I don't know.
You want to get randomly punched?
Or maybe he wants his kids to go to school in Brooklyn, in New York, where it's the greatest school system.
What?
Said nobody.
I don't know the current situation, but if you were asking Google, he is still married to a woman named Chelsea.
Okay. So well,
you think you want to take advantage of that Brooklyn school system?
Well, maybe they go to a private school.
No, they do. You got private school tuition. You got the tax rate, which is outstanding, and you get randomly punched in the face.
You worried about
NBA?
Or kicked
in the you worried about Redick's
money?
Money?
Redick's been around since 2006. You worried about his money?
Yeah, I'm worried about a lot of people.
Are you kidding me? You know how much money
you're worried about?
How much
Tillman's?
JJ Redick has made?
You're
in
worried
his
about
career.
Tillman's money.
And wait,
well, Tillman is a personal friend.
Kim Crane's money.
If NBA player that's been in the league for 17 years can't afford Brooklyn, no one can afford Brooklyn.
He's probably
career made. Earnings. Guess I got it right here.
Okay, how many years? 15 years
since 2006. Yes, as a first rounder. So he started off with first round money.
Okay. I'm gonna say over. Okay, so he's made over $240 million.
No,
he's not a superstar.
No, that's
all right. Over. Well, he's made over 150.
I'm
going to
say
million.
160.
He's made well over 150.
Career
million.
Earnings for J.J. Redick, nearly 116 million.
116.
Yeah, remember, he's always been a designated shooter.
He's making less than you thought.
Is he Cam Newton? He's poor?
Well, he's not a free agent, so he's not poor.
He's made way less than you thought.
I thought 160. He made 116? Okay. Yeah, how are you going to live on that now?
So we'll
wait a minute.
Hold on.
I know he's got to feed his family.
No. Now we cut off half. Okay. So now we're at 80. Now we cut off agent fees, 80, publicist.
116. Eight, it's,
oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, 80. So we're down to 50.
57.
And then minus agency fees and all that stuff. And that's over 15 years.
40 million. So how are you going to do it?
I don't know.
It's $4 million
a year.
You're
just counting. Maybe
less than $4 million a year, $3.5 million a year.
How are you gonna
and
do
then
it?
He lived in New York.
And you think he just sat with his money? Maybe he didn't invest, you know, and maybe he's got some sponsorships. Why?
He probably blew it on.
You think J.J. Redick is going to be on Broke in the next documentary?
Wow.
Could be.
Wow. Because he sends his kids to Brooklyn private school.
I seriously thought J.J. Redick would have made more
money. No, he's a designated shooter. That's all he does.
I know, but NBA players just make like
he had one balloon payment.
$30 million without even trying.
James makes that in 2.5 years.
James is a superstar. JJ had one balloon payment because Philly had money to spend. He signed a 1-year deal for 23. That's his biggest deal. That happened.
Wow, that's really. Hey, he's made a lot less than I thought.
I don't want to go here, but maybe there's a little discrimination going on.
Yeah,
here.
I noticed that the white guy's getting paid a lot.
White
less,
guy's
Del.
Getting a lot less. Okay, James Harden's make a lot more than the white guy.
Excuse me.
Do you guys remember how much Gordon Hayward made this offseason?
That's not the point.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, that's a white guy.
Maybe J.J. Redick, like Angel Hernandez, goes to court on this one.
How about the inequity of pay?
Yeah. What?
How about we get better equity?
What do you mean?
In pay.
You think J.J. has been underpaid?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is
by
like,
shooting
you know
standards?
What this is? This is like the women's soccer team.
Title IX?
Yeah. No. The women's World Cup team.
Oh, okay.
What? Right?
No, it's not like that because those women win. It's not the same.
So JJ wins.
JJ,
what has he won?
JJ wins.
What's he won?
Go look at some of the teams he's been on.
I will, and he's never won.
He's won games.
He hasn't been
kidding.
He went to a conference final with Orlando with Dwight Howard.
He's from Duke. He's a champ.
I don't think I'll listen to this nonsense.
827.
JJ's the point is JJ Redick is fine. It's not about the money.
Well, we don't know that.
Now you're changing. He's
I'd
convinced
make my wife move. I'd say
John,
get out of Brooklyn. We don't need to live in Brooklyn. The tax rates here are insane.
Hold on.
Yeah. The balloon payment's gone. There's not going to be another balloon payment, Chelsea.
You're talking real reckless now for a guy who had his mother-in-law living in his home for 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you got to be frugal.
You're talking
you gotta
real
be frugal.
Reckless.
You don't know when that's going
to
happen.
You're talking real reckless about a guy who will tell his wife what to do.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're stupid. Oh, you're going to go to a Brooklyn school instead of New Orleans schools? You know how great
the Louisiana school system is what you're touting?
I don't think you want to look at all the education numbers statewide.
Thank God for Mississippi. Without them, we'd be 50.
We got to get the kids out of New Orleans and get them to Brooklyn. One of the boroughs.
That's a song.
Yeah, I wonder what the connection is because
he should have just had the family move to KU the Woodlands.
Sure. He never played in New York. He didn't go to school in New York, and he's not from the area. So I guess maybe he just loves the area.
Oh, yeah. I
wonder how that worked out.
Well, he's got all kinds of tattoos. That's probably why.
That's a Brooklyn thing.
He's locking in on a barista gig.
You don't know.
Maybe he's locking in on he's going to be a graphic designer. You don't know.
Now, 8:29, time to talk about Gimme the Vin. What about my man, John Clay Wolf? He took up three spots last time he was on. John Clay Wolf is listen, how about this? He says this. If they can't beat the final offer from the dealership, he will send you $100. He's already said that about CarMax. The last time he was on, he said, listen, if I can't beat your final deal from the car dealer, then I'll send you $100. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Like, Tony, are you kidding me? All you got to do is go to GimmeTheVin.com and get the most money for your car. Well, I want to sell it to somebody else and take less. What? Okay, it's a car. What you got to get is the most you can possibly get for your car. So if you don't go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, then you're leaving money on the table, which is dumb. All you got to do, if you want to sell your car, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get know when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good point, Art. We'll finish the J.J. Redick story someday. In the meantime, we got Richard Justice here with us on ESPN 97.5. Opening day, baby! Opening day. Richie, how many opening? I know, John, this is my 900th opening day. Opening day in the NFL. I've covered every Houston team since 1927. So, how many opening days now in the profession have you had?
I think the first one was 1979. I haven't made them all since then, but there's been a lot. My first opening day as a fan was. I was at the Rangers' very first game at Arlington Stadium in 1972. I don't think I've ever made an Astros opening day prior to Minute Maid Park. But, the one thing you feel is, and it's going to be different this year because the reporters are not going to be in the clubhouse for pregame, at least for a while, but every team thinks it has a chance. This is the one thing every team thinks it has a chance. And for Astros fans, I mean, this is as good as it's going to get. This franchise, you know, at a time where we're not real happy with our other franchises in town, this franchise does a lot of things right, pretty much everything right. I don't know if you guys feel this way. It's been a little different for me in that I'm so excited about Houston and Baylor in the Final Four. It's sort of a distraction. But it's opening day, and we got baseball every night between now and November.
Yeah, you went to Baylor, right? If I remember correctly, right?
I could one of the many places I could not get in.
No, oh, that's you're wrong. John. It's the wrong person. Oh,
that's right. He's a Longhorn. It's okay. Y'all lost to Abilene Christian or something.
Pathetic.
There's a certain pizza place in town where he goes, where Johnny goes and watches the football games and all these basketball games. And I think it was the Baylor women were playing that night, and I texted him and said something like, "Hey, are you there? You know, like maybe I'd like to come over and offer some color commentary." And I pretty much let me know that it was a Baylor only crowd.
Yeah, you're not welcome.
I got a serious question for you here.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no, I honestly do. Last year was obviously a huge distraction with pandemic shutting down baseball, and then it came back, and it was in a completely different form than it will be in this year. So this will be the first full year that we're it's James Click's team. It's not the full 4 year, it's James Click's team, but this is like the first full year where we don't have all the craziness. Do you have the same level of I had a lot of confidence in AJ Hinch and Jeff Leno combination. A ton of confidence. And why wouldn't you? What is your level of confidence? Is it the same, or do they still have to earn it, James Click and Dusty Baker?
No, it's just the same. And you know what the tipping point for me was during the playoffs last year. Remember, this team had a losing record in the regular season. And the way they manipulated the pitching during the postseason, and the biggest one being telling Zach Greinke, okay, we're going to let you go one time through the lineup. I think that was what they ended up doing. And then we're going to take you out. There's a guy headed to the Hall of Fame, and you're saying, we're going to go get you. And that told me that James Click has a pair of brass ones, and he's not afraid to go down and stir things up in the clubhouse. Secondly, it told me that he and Dusty Baker have a great, and Brett Strom, the pitching coach, have a great a working relationship and a trust in each other. And I don't think, Jeff Luna, I think, would object to this, but I think there were times, and there's always going to be tension between the manager and the general manager. That's a good thing for the most part. But I think there were times where AJ had problems with them and Jeff had problems with AJ, because you always want, you know, they have different views of the world, because AJ would, and Dusty would have a ground level view of what's going on, and they have to deal with the personalities and they have to sell all the decisions that are made. I know a manager that had a player come in his office a few years ago, and the guy opened the conversation. He was mad about not being in the lineup, and he opened the conversation by saying, "I know you had nothing to do with this." And the manager said, "To hell I didn't," and he put him in there. He put the let the guy talk his way into the lineup. It wasn't Houston. He let the guy talk his way into the lineup, and he said, "I probably got a letter in my file." So it's a different game. You know, the avalanche of information that comes every day, and you have to have a manager that's open to it, and Dusty's open to it.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5, and we're waiting. Countdown is on for Carlos Correa's deal. Lindor's $341 million deal, 34 a year, Richie. When Tatis is only getting 24 a year with his 14-year deal, and now we're talking about Carlos. You know, Lindor has only missed 30 games the last 5 years. Carlos misses that in half a season. What's a reasonable number for both sides? I mean, what can... And he's so hard to put a number on because he misses so many games, and that's his MO. What do you do in this situation?
You know, what's the number for each side? I mean, the number you've got to get to is $30 million a year. That's the new going rate in baseball. Is he worth that? If you're the Astros, you're going to go, okay, you know, if you say he's going to be healthy, if you know he's going to be healthy, he's as good as any player in the game. But like you said, he hasn't been healthy. These long-term contract extensions are, you know, they normally don't work out. For every Mike Trout, there are probably 10 guys that don't. And I don't know the answer to it. You know, when you let George Springer walk, you're saying we're going to keep, to me, you're saying we're going to keep McCullers and Correa. But the numbers are so big in terms of Correa that it's almost, it's mind-numbing. So, you know, do I think they'll get something done before game time tonight? I say it's probably 50-50. But I, you know, and if you don't get it done now, you go into free agency. But I don't think Carlos wants to go into free agency. There's too many unknowns now with the economics of the game and the labor agreement expiring and all sorts of things. I think he feels this way too. I think he would give something to get something done. But you know, people say, I've had people stop me and go, "Hey, they're offering him a lot of money." Well, that used to be Drayton's MO in every negotiation to Carlos Beltran. "We're offering you a lot of money." Yeah, but it's not the market value. Players are competitive, as you guys know.
Yeah.
I mean, if Lindor got $34 million a year, then I'm worth $34 million a year, and it gets really complicated.
Right. Well, no, Lindor's deal happening yesterday is a bad thing. Where do you think, who do you think's got a higher OPS, Lindor or Carlos?
Carlos had it. Well, his was only about 700 last year, but I love the guy. And I think the energy what did Springer get to the club? Besides what you could measure on paper, he was the DJ after the game. He was the guy with the biggest mouth in the dugout. He was the guy the snapshot is of him making a diving catch and jumping up and smiling. Well, the guy that's most like him is Carlos Correa, because Altuve's a quieter guy. Bregman doesn't show the same kind of emotion on the field. So, you know, Carlos can become the poster boy for the whole franchise if they get this done.
Their OPS, identical, 833.
Yeah, and the thing is, what they both bring is a persona. Like, and they're both one of those guys that when you approach them, they own the room. They never met strangers. Mm-hmm. And Lindor's got that smile. But, you know, in terms of Lindor, the Mets' new ownership wanted to make a statement. "Hey, we're not the other guys. We're not going to let our guys walk. We're going to get this done, and we have to overpay to get it done. We're going to do it."
Yep. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. Excited to see Alvarez. That's Lance, and we're both are. See if he can get back to Rookie of the Year. But I'm more excited. I want to see Jose Altuve get back to Hall of Fame, Rich. Last year was so hard on him with the family and with the scandal and everything else, and then not being able to throw the first base. He did finally hit in the ALCS, which was great to see him hitting again. But, man, I'm looking forward to seeing a Hall of Famer again.
Man, there is no – I don't know that I've ever been around a player that cares more about his teammates, a guy that is more prepared and prepares every day. You know, everybody knows his backstory. The Astros sent him away a couple of times from tryout camps and before giving him, I think, $15,000. And he became one of the great players in the game. I think what I saw at the end of spring training last year is the guys getting booed every day. They were getting worn down by it. I'm not saying that I know them that well to understand the mood, but I could see that Bregman and Altuve and those guys were just worn down by the spring training booing. And I asked Bregman a couple of weeks ago, I said, how are you going to deal with the booing? What fans there are going to be? And he said, we're trying to tell ourselves you control what you can control. But that's going to be we talk about the razor thin rotation and working Miles Straw and Chas McCormick into it and all this stuff. But how you handle that and how much you hear of that, that's going to be an interesting part of this.
Absolutely. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. SI has the Angels. Went in the Joe Madden. I think the Joe Madden issue is there. That's why they might have him up there. Plus, you know, Rendon. That's awfully nice. The Astros finishing second and the A's third. I don't think it's crazy, but I got the Astros in the division. Who you got?
Yeah, I got the Astros too. I see Fangraphs has it a coin toss between the Astros and the A's. 538 has the Astros winning by about 10 games. Interestingly, on Fangraphs, they have only two AL teams winning 90 games, Twins and Yankees, and everybody else in the 88, 86, 84 range. But I can see why you would pick against the Astros in that there are a lot of questions about all the momentum the young pitchers had in the postseason last year. I mean, what they did in the postseason, you take a losing team that got in only because they expanded the playoff field and they missed the World Series by one game. And it was the front office and Dusty's finest hour to see those kids like Javier and Urquidy. But now, you know, Greinke's 37, Verlander's 38, don't know when he's going to pitch. Your number one starter, Framber Valdez, you don't know when he's going to pitch. And can all those young guys maintain the momentum? Like when Dusty goes out to the mound and starts calling in relievers, it's a whole new cast of characters from a couple of years ago. But I trust the front office. And if they say Luis Garcia's ready for the big leagues, then he's ready for the big leagues. You need those front three, Greinke, Odorizzi, and McCullers. You need them to stay healthy. It's a really, really, really good team.
Were you really surprised by the McCullers deal, length of deal, amount of deal? I guess once Dell started reading off guys who, you know, where the $17, $18 million range was, I mean, it's not crazy for McCullers. I still think you're kind of paying them on projection still, which is, you don't want to do that too often, but where are you on that contract and what that says about the Astros' future plans for their rotation?
You have to build around people, and they have no idea what they're going to get out of Forrest Whitley. McCullers shapes up to be the anchor for a long time to come. And in terms of stuff, which is sometimes an uncertain thing to build around, but it's a good place to start. There's nobody better. I mean, that curveball is as good as any pitch in baseball, and he wants to be here. It made a lot of sense. You have to transition. You weren't going to keep Springer. You couldn't let them all go, but at the same time, you can't keep them all either.
We can just keep
going with
it. No. Let's go on the other side. Richie, can you stay another segment?
I got nothing to do.
He's got nothing today. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get Richie here on the other side as well, talking baseball on opening day here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite, and I talked about he went to Chastain Ford and he picked up his pickup truck. Jeff Aronoff needs a pickup truck because he's got so much he's doing with carrying. And I don't know if he's carrying marble and granite and everything else in there, but I know he's he is busting his butt getting out there to all of the big jobs that he has got in, not only in this city, but Jeff Aronoff is working around the country. He told me he had a bunch of stuff going in Atlanta, in Dallas, hotels that he's doing. He's doing all the vanities for a hotel or countertops or whatever he's doing. Jeff Aronoff is a guy who is, you know, not only, he's not just for us here, but he's a guy that is going to get that big job that you need done. And if you're looking for somebody that is going to take care of that outdoor patio, he's going to take care of that kitchen for you. He's going to take care of that bathroom for you. He's going to redesign it. He'll redo it. If you had issues with the, you know, the Arctic blast and your pipes burst and you have a ruination of any of your rooms, well, here, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. And all you got to do is give him a call and let him come and take a look. And he'll bring, you know what, he'll be the architect of it as well. So you don't need anybody else on that job. And he'll help you pick out all the stuff that you want, the technology and the what he can do now. It's unbelievable how good it can look. So all you got to do is start the process. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite, 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Richard Justice is with us here talking some baseball on opening day. Rich, are you at all worried about closing games? I mean, how does it work if you don't have that dominant closer?
Well, if he's right, if Brian Presley's right, he's as dominant as anybody in the game. But I think in terms of the pitching, you worry about all of it. And I think that would be the reason you would not pick them to win. That would be the only reason you wouldn't pick them to win the AL West. Their top of seven in the lineup is as good as any in baseball, especially if Alvarez has a bounce back year. So I don't know what's going to happen in terms of I think the ninth I feel okay about. But we're going to look at some new faces like Belock and those guys in the innings before that. And in the back of the rotation, they're going to be new names, and they're likely to rotate as the season plays out. But again, you know, for this team to be as successful as it's been since 2015, you're going to have to transition, and last year was the start of a transition.
Well, how do you see, like, the last four? Like, who do you see as the top four in the bullpen?
I see well, let me see. Belock is going to probably, with Taylor and Belock, you're going back between the rotation and, let me just get my notes here and look at it.
Well, Baez.
Okay. Okay. Where does Paredes figure in? You got Scrub, Paredes, Rayleigh. I guess Luis Garcia is going to pitch the fifth game of the season right now.
And then he'll go to the
right. I think you start with Taylor, Paredes, Scrub,
yeah.
And you don't know when Josh James is going to be. So those are all guys that looked good at times last year, and they're all guys with plus stuff. But until you do it, you don't know that you can do it. And another factor is, so like everybody pitched in 25 games last year, the starters pitch 50 innings, and you're going to ask them to go to 60 games, 70 games, and pitch 150, 180 innings, things like that. That's a big worry. But every team has that worry. Like, how do we ramp them up slowly, going from a third of a season to a full season without injuring a bunch of guys? That's the unknown.
Well, when Baez gets here, it makes the bullpen better. Scrub is going to get better. When Odorizzi gets here in the first week, Garcia goes to the bullpen. When Fromber comes back, Javier goes to the bullpen. I like the pen, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I like the arms. But, you know, it's still, you got to go through it a season. I would think last year they gained confidence, certainly in the postseason. Now, you can't manipulate it the way you did in the postseason, because they were basically using three guys, moving them between the rotation and the bullpen. You can't do that over a whole season. But the other part of that is in Brent Strom And then Dusty Baker, you have guys that instill have a tendency to instill confidence in guys. Jason Castro is a calming presence behind the plate. So they have the talent. You just have to go out and do it. There's going to be some rough spots along the way, but every year in a bullpen, you have that.
Do you, Richard, do you, so last year, the two names we were told to watch were Paredes and Javier before the season started. Who are a couple minor leaguers that we need to, who are a couple minor leaguers that we need to keep our eye on that could become factors this year, either position wise or pitching wise?
They don't have them. I mean,
really?
Seth McCormick's going to make the team. No. I mean, they have only one of among MLB's top 100 prospects. They have only one player. Tampa Bay, for instance, has eight in that one.
Who
player,
are the Astros? Who's the Astros player?
Well, it's not Whitley anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's Whitley. That's the guy.
It is Whitley.
Yeah, that's the guy. So they're all up here now. All those guys, Garcia, and we'll see what McCormick can do, you know, Miles Straw. I don't know in terms of – this we know. The farm system's bad. It's in the bottom three in baseball because of all the trades made in recent years. But that doesn't matter. All you need is one or two guys to hit it. So, you know, Pedro Leon's an outfielder that's only – supposed to make it next year. They have a right-handed pitcher named Hunter Brown that's supposed to make it next year. So all those guys are in play. But the guy we know is here is Garcia and McCormick are here. And hopefully there'll be a surprise out of there, like a Tyler Ivey, a right-handed pitcher that they love a lot, they like a lot. But in terms of sure things, Forrest Whitley was supposed to be the sure thing. Kyle Tucker was supposed to be the sure thing. And so far, Tucker looks like he's on the way to being a star. And Whitley, we just don't know about.
Do you give the Braves a chance to beat the Dodgers?
The Dodgers are the best team in baseball again. And they got better in the offseason. And they're I think the Mets are going to win the NL East.
You do? Over the Braves?
I think they got a little bit more pitching. You know, how many teams can win the World Series and it would surprise nobody? In the American League, that would be the Yankees, the Rays, the Twins. The White Sox, I guess, would be a bit of a surprise. And the A's and the Astros. So that's a big number. And in the National League, you could go. I think the Nationals would be a little bit of a surprise, but it'd be the Braves, the Mets. The Brewers are going to be really, really good. Dodgers and Padres are going to be really good. And that's sort of the power rankings at this point in the season.
Yeah. You think San Diego gives them a good run?
Yes, they're really good. And what Atlanta has is so much pitching that, you know, they go 7 and 8 deep on young pitchers, and they have not traded them. And they can compete with anybody. And Ronald Acuna Jr. is just sort of like a Lindor or Correa, sort of an electric personality that tends to rally people. Let's go play.
Yeah. So here it is, opening day, 4 games on ESPN and the Astros in the last one. Richie, is this Mike Fiers thing is ridiculous. Is he ever going to start against the Astros?
he's going to have to at some point, I would think. They can't duck him the whole year. And I don't think they're ducking him this time. I think he legitimately is not ready to go. But, how do you guys feel the booing is going to impact the Juan Loss record, or do you think it will?
I think we're a year removed now, and people are still going to be idiots. I mean, they were booing. They're booing. And you know what? There's only a handful of guys left on this team that were here in 2017. So,
right.
And George Springer ain't going to be booed for cheating. We know Marwin isn't getting booed. I mean, it's ridiculous. Right. As soon as you AJ Hinch isn't going to be booed.
Gerrit Cole won't be. Well, he wasn't on the team.
No, he wasn't on the team. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous what they, they're booing guys that weren't even here.
Somebody said to me, the country's gone through a lot since then. You know, a pandemic, and we're looking at the world differently. Don't you think all will be forgiven? I said, baseball fans see certain inalienable rights: hot dog, beer, and we're going to yell, "You suck," to Alex Bregman.
Yeah. Listen, and again, The Athletic did another piece this week that said, you know what? Yeah, they cheated. It didn't help them. As a matter of fact, it probably hurt them.
Yeah, but that's not gonna. That's not gonna. That's true. I agree with that. And you know, when they whatever the Yankees were doing, Mark Teixeira told him, like, was on the team, said, "You got to stop. You're going to get somebody killed, and it's not helping anybody." So I think. Which makes it all more look more ridiculous. Like, do you think Jose Altuve needs any help? I mean, guys, anybody has ever seen. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's certainly a lesson learned for AJ and Jeff Luno.
Yeah, well, AJ bounced back. Luno, we'll see. That's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5. Baseball expert, been doing it professionally since 1979. This is my 43rd opening day, and I love baseball, and the Astros are going to win it all again. That's right.
Hey, so who's going to win the Houston-Baylor game?
Houston.
Wouldn't that be
I'm having a hard time saying that. I'm having a hard time saying that, Rich.
He didn't believe that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. But you know what? You still got to give those Cougs big ups. They're going to play him tough, though. I'll tell you that. They're going to play him tough. But Baylor's so deep. They got so many guys that can score.
What a job both those two coaches. Scott Drew took the worst job in America, and Kelvin Sampson took a place that was drowning in apathy. You guys know about the rats at Halfine Pavilion? Like I said to him the other day, I said, did you ever see the rats that were, you know, the place was just infested? And he goes, I didn't see them, but I heard a lot about them. I said, it tended to intimidate opponents, but I don't think it was what recruits wanted to see.
No, probably not. No.
My kid was on the swim team over there, and they'd have him run the stands at Halfine Pavilion. And she said, it was really easy to get going because you don't want to go down. You don't want to go down to the floor because there were rats down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he fixed all that. Their facilities are as good as any. And if you don't want to play for Kelvin Sampson, you're in the wrong sport. I mean, what a job that guy's done.
Oh, he's been excellent. Excellent. No, great for the city. Maybe he's the best coach we've got here. I don't think there's any question about that. We appreciate it. Richie, as always, thanks for hanging with us and happy opening day.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks. Same to you guys.
Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.